Columbia Mobile.
82VNG.
It's to the club meeting. You coming out that way?
I'm into a club meeting, I guess, because I'm not part of the club. Although I suppose the club always needs members.
The club member to attend the club meeting. And you can attend it both on-site and virtually. There is a link on the W4NYK Facebook page that will take you to the meeting. It starts at 7.
Facebook page. If I go to Facebook and search for W4NYK, I guess I'll find it.
Fastest way to get to it. Or you could get somebody, a club member, to forward. All the club members get an email right before the meeting that has it in it. You could get them to forward you one.
She had virtual meetings. Did that grow out of a quarantine thing, quarantine requirement? You always had virtual meetings.
Quarantine, we had, we were all virtual. That's all we had was virtual. And then coming out of it, we went back, we went back to on-site and tried to do on-site and virtual. It didn't work out so good. And then we lost the Red Cross, kicked us out. And they wouldn't let us back in. We couldn't find another place to have them, so we missed a few of them. But now we're back in the Red Cross, and we're going in 2023. We're going to try to do all of them in 2023 and host both. So I think this will be the second or third where we have both virtual and on-site. And it is back at the 940 Grove Road in Greenville.
Trust building. I don't even know where that is. I suppose it's easy enough to find. Well, if there's a virtual meeting, I could look and check that out.
Yeah. See if you can find it on Facebook. It'll be pretty quick if you put it W4MYK in Facebook search. It'll take you straight to it. And I think Leroy posted. They use it. They're pretty good about posting that to Facebook, a duplicate.
Driving up that way now.
I'm forward to tell you myself, but that's kind of hard to do while you're driving. I'm trying to get there early to set up the virtual part of the meeting.
I've been out of the house for, I'd say, probably about a week. The last couple of weeks, you had that one real cold part of last month where, I just wasn't going to go out anyway. But yeah, if I'm ever out and about, maybe I'll take in an actual meeting.
And until then, you can attend the virtual meetings. Have it your way, kind of like Burger King.
Burger King, so you deserve a break today. Who was that? That was McDonald's. Okay, have it your way, Burger King. Or Tim Hortons, wherever they are now.
Time ago, I don't keep up with who's got what jingle. who writes the jingles or who's got which one and which one's current. I don't keep up with all that. But I know Burger King used to say, have it your way. And then all the other ones had to line up behind them, and do the same thing.
So it's have it your way, eh?
What have you been doing today? How have you spent the first 2 days of 2023?
Some radios on eBay, which I'm going to test and see if I can, if it's easy to fix, we'll fix. I got one good 2-meter rig. It's an ICOM, what is it, ICOM IC02A. It's a 2-meter handheld. The rest of the handhelds might be junk. I might just have battery problems. But yeah, if I get enough pieces to put together one or two good sets of handheld radios, that's usually a good thing to have.
As far as purchasing new equipment, or new-to-me equipment, I can say I've done good this year. So far this year, I have not purchased a single airplane. So far this year.
So far this year? Okay, well, that means you'll be needing at least one or two new airplanes.
Plant balsa trees, you got to be able to compensate. You're going to plant, when you fly off airplanes, you're going to plant them in the ground every now and then.
They seem to go down more than they go up. They're fragile little things. Now, I've seen some of those airplane models that are big. I mean, they're like, 5, 6, 8 feet long, with like 6-foot wingspan. So, I assume you've flown like the really, really big models.
They big. If somebody brings one out in the field and they need help getting it set up, I'll fly it for them. I used to teach people how to fly them. Sometimes they build more than they were comfortable with flying, and they get one of the instructors to help them figure out, did they get their ailerons right? It's really bad when you reverse your ailerons, your elevator, rudder, that kind of stuff. But I don't build them that big normally. I might build one that big in the future. I want to put a repeater in the sky up at about 400 feet. And it's a repeater not for amateur radio, but for the video goggles, so that it goes up 400 feet and then it goes out to the aircraft that's flying out at a distance. That way you don't have to obey the, one-tenth rule. Every one-tenth you go out, you got to go up a tenth. Like if you go out 1 mile, you got to go up a tenth of a mile. If you go out 10 miles, you got to go up 1 mile. That's how you keep line of sight. W4DJW.
So the flying repeater, wasn't Google or some company trying to do that with basically the four-man satellite? A more or less permanently orbiting aircraft or drone of some sort to carry internet radio thing repeaters.
Well, that still is Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook CEO and owner and CEO. And he's got two versions of it. One of them that's just a wing. It's a big, long wing that has a whole bunch of propeller pods on it, and the wings are all solar cells. So they go up there above the rain clouds and just fly forever. They never shut off. I guess they come down for maintenance every now and then. Now, I don't know how that's going. I haven't checked on it lately. And then he's got another one that's dual fuselages on. It's like three wings on a huge airplane. I think it's the largest airplane there is. I think he's got the largest one there is now. I think the other one that was larger than that was over in Ukraine, and it's been reduced to rubble.
Much of the Starlink system, it's above the height of the SAM batteries. A flying wing of some sort can be shot down, but on the other hand, it's a whole lot cheaper to launch one. That or put up a bunch of balloons.
Go wherever they want to go, or whatever the altitude, the wind direction of the altitude they're at, which isn't very good. They don't have very good control. Directional stability is very lacking on the balloons. But there's some guys that fly RC planes that have like up to a 30-foot wingspan. And the military flies, they've got radio-controlled rigs that, go halfway around the world. And they've got a whole lot bigger wingspan than that.
Drones or whatever they are. Small pilotless airplane with some sort of air-to-ground missile. So now you see where you, I guess you've been ahead of the curve all these years. You're probably our leading UAV or drone expert at this point.
There's over a million people, or probably 1.5 million people in the Academy of Model Aeronautics that have been doing the same thing I've been doing as long as I've been doing it. So there's quite a few people that know RC inside and out. But we need the potential, and the rest of the world just caught on to that huge potential that is, and it is huge. But they are also retrofitting, instead of scrapping the F-16s, because they're pretty old now, instead of scrapping them, they're adapting them to be UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles. And they're turning out to be some pretty good unmanned aerial vehicles, because their limit in the past was the G's on the human in the cockpit. Now they don't have to worry about the G's on the human in the cockpit. They can pull as many as they want until they snap the wings.
Before, from several sources, so is that sort of maybe the future of aerial combat?
How do you do it any other way, all right? They can communicate with each other faster than humans can communicate. They have a protocol where they share information, so they can all lock on to all the enemy aircraft, and they can pull tighter G's than any airplane that has a human in it. I mean, it would just reduce the human to a pool of liquid. The G's that they can pull, right? The human would just be a puddle of liquid in the bottom of the cockpit when that turn was over with. So nobody can turn as tight as them or as fast as them or know where everybody is at all times and coordinate who's going to make what move. You know, like a swarm of F-16s that have no G limitations. Yeah, there's no human pilot on Earth that would be that good. They could do anything with that.
In like 20 years, I mean, before the word drone came into common vocabulary, or whatever it is, watch out for the RC model airplane people, because put some sort of autonomous guidance on that. You've got the poor man's cruise missile. So that is the future of air combat, offensive and defensive.
It kind of scratchy here because I'm going behind the shadow of Paris Mountain on White Hampton before you get to the intersection of 291 and White Hampton. And it gets pretty scratchy over here, so if I am getting too scratchy to hear, just let me know. But yeah, there's, I don't know if you've seen, there is a YouTube video out there somewhere that shows a bunch of multirotors flying. They form a cube in the air. There's like three across, three deep, and three high. So there's a cube of them. Three, or that'd be nine times three. Nine times three would be 18 of them. And they fly. They fly in formation. They maintain that cube shape. But then they have to go through this loop, a halo that's vertical, a vertical halo. They have to fly through it. And there's only room for one to go through at a time. And they're going like 10 miles an hour from left to right. And they have to maintain their speed from left to right at 10 miles an hour. So each one of them, as they approach the halo, speeds up and goes through the halo. And they're coordinated with each other. They're talking to each other. And they're saying, I'm going next. And then they speed up and zip through there and get back into formation on the other side of the halo. And each one of them peels off and does that while it's going 10 miles an hour across the front of the halo. And they all go through that hourglass and don't miss 1 mile an hour and come out in formation on the other side of it. That's pretty impressive.
Some sort of autonomous robotic system that has some decision-making capability and certainly some communication ability, and it even has to have some sort of consensus ability. Okay, who goes first? Because no human is capable of controlling, you know, that many little things independently. So I guess the intelligence is there to do that sort of thing.
And that's the definition of a drone. So you hear a lot of people using the word drone these days, and 99.999% of them are in error, because that's not, well, a drone is a worker male bee, the male bee that goes out and gets honey, or something that has artificial intelligence. And none of these things that we fly from DJI have any artificial intelligence. They are all just programs. They're canned procedural or object-oriented programs is all they are. But that system that did that is truly a drone. So is the Predator drone. It's truly a drone. You can call that a drone and be technically correct.
As it's an unmanned aerial vehicle, it's the things we used to play with out at the ball field, or the things you still play with now. But, you know, it's got long-range cameras and weapons.
Yeah, if it can make a decision, right, it can get to it, and it can learn from bad decisions and correct its behavior, then, yeah, it's a drone. If it can't learn, if it's going to fly the same path and crash the same place every single time, yeah, that's not a drone. That's a aircraft that is running a programmed flight path.
UAV, I'm flying it remotely via some kind of telepresence as if I were inside it. But it's all completely me controlling it, versus drone, which I guess is somewhat autonomous, or maybe not, you know, or maybe completely autonomous. Another definition of drone, Mars rover, because certainly you don't have, with the signal lag, impractical to control it remotely in real time.
Example, because they have to be able to avoid obstacles, and they know what their limit is, right? So they have to be able to make decisions. Am I going to go around this to the left, around this to the right, or over top of it, right? Or am I just going to stop and ask my humans to help me out? Yeah, I don't know to the degree that they can learn. I don't know what they put in those things. I know the first one that was done, that first one that was successfully landed on Mars and gathered data, I was using that company software to build programs for Michelin Tire. So I knew that one inside and out, and that wasn't, that didn't have any artificial intelligence. That was the guys on the ground on Earth would issue a command, and they would wait for the command to be received, to be executed, and the results to be returned before they issued another command.
Any Wind River Systems comes to mind, or maybe I'm thinking of someone else. There was a couple of companies that made operating systems to those things. But yeah, that would be more of a question of, okay, it's goal seeking. Go to this point on the map and let me know when you get there. But I imagine along the way it still has to have some rudimentary intelligence as far as, you know, obstacle in the way, how to avoid it.
Because that was built by Computer Vision's software package called CADS 5, CADDS 5. And that's the same Computer Vision package that I used to build tires, or to do the design and the machining, design and manufacturing of the tires. But it got stuck on a rock. And that's why that's one of the reasons they came out with some AI, because they said, we can't do this again. You just can't run up to Mars and pick it up and move it over 2 feet and set it down.
Depending on how the rover is situated and how the camera is situated, you know, I tell it to move here to here, and it looks, you know, I don't know, there might be something in the way. There might be a crevasse or something over the rise of the next thing I can't really see. So it has to have some sense enough to avoid that. You know, well, according to the human operator, when I told it go here to here, it looked clear, but, you know, it's got to have some basic sense as, you know, don't unexpectedly fall into a hole.
JW, and I'm in uptown Greenville now, so I got buildings I'm contending with, and you're being very, very patient with my scratchy signal, if it is scratchy. But that's what's so fun about flying RC planes with goggles on, and a lot of the guys that are a lot better than I am do it at nighttime with neon lights on their wings, and they follow each other, and they fly under garage or through a garage, an enclosed garage that's open at each end, but they fly under and around the poles and, you know, up and around signs. And usually they're abandoned. There are places that are abandoned, but they do have some kind of a lighting so that through the goggles you can see the obstacles that are in front of you, and some of them use FLIR and some of them just use, you know, night vision. But it's, once you fly with goggles on, you still get a little bit of that same delay that they would get, you know, with going from here to the moon or from here to Mars. It's just a whole lot less of it. But you've got to think about that, you know. I can't respond. I can't do knee-jerk reactions when I'm a second and a half behind because processing that video takes a second and a half to get it out of the aircraft and to get it into your goggles and get it into your eyes. You know, it takes a second and a half or 2 seconds. So what you're seeing is not when it's happening, and you don't have, I mean, you're flying through the air. It's not like you can stop and get out and look around it and get back in it and say, okay, I'm going to go forward 10 more feet. You do what you do, and it either works or it doesn't.
Experiencing that kind of signal delay on Earth, I mean, unless you're going through several geosynchronous satellites, yeah, that's a problem for the moon. There's a 1.5 second delay to the moon. There's anywhere from a 3 to 20 minute delay to Mars. So more of a problem there.
The electron or light travels that fast so that you shouldn't be perceptible to the eyes, but there is a processor on board for the, it's not like analog video signals. There's a processor on board that has to process the video to get it to weigh, you know, less than an ounce, the transmitter and the camera and all of that stuff, 1 or 2 ounces max. So you don't, it's not like you've got an i7 processor to process your video. It's a whole lot less than that. And then coming into the goggles, it has to be processed in reverse and displayed in your viewers that are in front of your eyeballs. So that makes it a lot of fun. In fact, it removes one of the limitations with RC flying. That is, depth perception is an issue. You know, the further out you get, the less accurate you are with depth perception, at least with most people. But with those goggles on, that problem just totally evaporates because you're right there sitting in the cockpit flying it, and you can go as far out as you want and still be as accurate as you were if you're flying right under your nose.
You know, the old days of RC flying where you're standing on the ground trying to control something in the distance and you have only one perspective on it. And sometimes it's hard to tell which way it's pointing. Is it going up or down? Is it moving left or right? But yeah, so what you're talking about is telepresence. You're in the cockpit. Well, you know, sort of. And yeah, maybe if there's not a signal delay, there's a processing delay. Yeah, there is that. With any sort of digital signal system, there's always going to be that. So, I guess that adds a little bit of uncertainty, but, you know, not nearly as much as standing half a mile away and trying to fly something.
Getting too, because conditions change. Like, I was teaching a guy one time, this was many, many years ago. He bought a new, what's called an Eaglet. It's a small trainer airplane, a small, maybe 2.5-3 foot wingspan, and he wanted me to do the maiden flight on it, and so I checked ailerons left, right, elevator up, down, rudder left, right, throttles working, all that. So we went out, the flight line took off, and it climbed out, and I started to turn, and it turned the other way from left, right, and then it didn't turn at all. It wouldn't turn whatsoever. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and it was getting farther and farther away, like you were saying. It was harder and harder to tell. And I said, okay, I'm going to pull a half a loop and fly it back upside down because it won't turn. So I did I pulled up, and it did a, yeah, you can tell you're going up and down versus left and right, but you can't tell what the orientation of the airplane is. So it went up, and it's upside down. I pushed down elevator once it got upside down, and it flew back. And I wiggled the rudder when it went by. And the rudder worked, so I pushed the elevator down, and it went back to the other side. It was right side up again. And then wiggled the rudder, and it was working in the right direction. Came in and landed it. And what he had done, we took the wing off. What he did was he had full threaded rods for the ailerons going through metal threaded clevises on the servo and on the control surfaces. So when we powered up that engine, that vibration from that engine made those two metal rods start turning. They unscrewed themselves completely. And I think the one turn that I did get, it was one of them fell out and it was pushing up against the other one. So they got one aileron to go up or the opposite direction that it should have gone, or it was doing it to the wrong aileron. Anyway, we got it back on the ground. That lesson learned. You put lock nuts. Either you don't use full threaded rod or you put lock nuts on there.
Oh, seriously, working their way out of. Yeah, you know, we've all had that happen. Or Loctite, which I think is some sort of glue, an epoxy glue, put that on the nuts. Oh, so that's what had happened? The aileron control rods, well, I guess basically came apart.
Condition changed as that one cylinder engine revved up. They screwed out like, because we put them back in there and we revved it up again, and they screwed out like you had a drill on them, unscrewed them. They just came right out. It's not like they just slowly turned. That vibration from that one cylinder banging up there just just unscrewed them just as quick as if you would have had them on a hand drill.
Tell him about the differential in the length of the rod from summertime flying to wintertime flying, Dave, KN4BWA.
Hey, Steve. That's true, too. And this will probably be my last one because I'm here. I had to get here early to set up, so I'm going to be getting out. But we both got to have the same kind of airplane, Glenn. And they've got long, skinny metal rods connecting the servo to the, and when I say long, I'm talking about 3 foot long, skinny metal rods that connect the servo to the elevator. And both of us had the same problem. We either couldn't get enough up or couldn't get enough down. I think we had to put down trim in it. We just couldn't get enough of it. And that's because that metal rod just expanded like crazy with the differential and the temperature. And I am here. People are unloading, so I'm going to have to unload too. So, Steve, I'll see you when you get here. Glenn, I hope you can find that link and get into the meeting. W4DJW, my last one.
Have a good one. 73s, W4DJW, KD2BG. And, yeah, if I find the link on Facebook, I'll check that out. You have a good meeting.
KA3JCA. David, before you go, I couldn't find the link on Facebook.
Keep going, Richard.
Alrighty. I'll see if I get the email here that he said it goes out.
I know the link is probably on our webpage also. You might try to get it there.
Thank you. I just checked the W4NYK website for Facebook, and I didn't see it, so unless I'm looking someplace wrong, but all right, I'll check the Briar CC page and see if it's there.
Roger, Roger. You still there, Glenn?
I have no access to Facebook. I can't log in. I destroyed all those accounts some time ago. So, all right, I'm sure the link will be somewhere else.
Primary web page for the Briars, I think. You're not going to be able to make it to the meeting tonight?
TRS.cc. I'm sure look around a while and I'll find it.
Kind of looking forward to meeting you face-to-face for a change.
Isn't there a meeting like every couple of weeks?
We do the club meeting once a month.
There'll be one next month. And you're still at the Red Cross building, wherever that is.
You know where Prisma Primary Hospital is, the old Greenwood Memorial? It's on Grove Road, kind of catty-corner across from the hospital.
I have a general idea. But, yeah, I'll find the, now if it's on Facebook and I no longer have access to Facebook, unless there's like a hard link to some Facebook page, yeah, I'll find it one way or another.
KA3JCA. I think I found the link that I could, if you want to give me a phone call, I didn't want to put it out over the air, but I could give it to you for the virtual Zoom meeting if you want the link.
That or email it to me. KD2B, my call sign, @yahoo.com. Yeah, if you have a hard link to a Zoom, you know, whatever it is, that's easier.
QBNG, right?
QBNG at ampersand, what is it, yahoo.com.
Check your email and see if you got it, please. KA3JCA.
Yeah, us6.web.zoomus. Okay, something. Yeah, I see it.
Kept scrolling down, and believe it or not, it was a link that Melvin put in there, and it was 22 hours ago. I guess I didn't go far enough down, but it's just a reminder that the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society Club meeting is the first Monday of each month at Grove Road in Greenville. Can it list all the information? Do you need it yourself?
Oh, no, no. I'm going to go be on site tonight. I'm on my way down there myself.
This is actually one that Dave had posted 22 hours ago, so Dave may have wrote it, that Melvin posted it, so okay, yeah. I'm still trying to work my way around the W4NYK Facebook page to see where things are at, so Alrighty, well, you guys have a meeting there. I will join the virtual meeting myself, and then I'll have to step away because I have another net that I call at 7:30, and then once that's over, I'll come back to the club meeting. It'll be running in the background. I just have my mic muted. KA3JCA.
Curious, what net is that?
Net that I'm doing tonight is the thermal belt net, the KF4JVI 14533 repeater up at Tryon.
Oh yeah, T-bar. Yeah, I'm a member up there too. It seems like every Monday night around the first of the month, I've got something that I've got to do, like the Greenville meeting and a couple of other meetings. And Dave and I are also members of the Foothills Flyers. That's that RC club. And, man, I tell you what, everybody does everything on the first Monday of the month.
So I didn't get it last year. I guess I finally got around to submit my application to join the club. I submitted that, so I figure if I'm going to use the repeater and help call the net, I'll help support the club.
Absolutely, and it's a good bunch of people, too. Now, were you able to participate in the Simplex net we did last time?
Look at your list. I should have been number one on the very top of the list.
Okay. Well, I was down at the very bottom, K4VWA. So how'd you do? How many contacts did you have?
Like four people, and believe it or not, you were one of them.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Have you got your list there? I think I had like 16.
Yeah, I'll tell you here in just a second. Step by one, KA3JCA.
Zoom, is there client software I got to install? Oh, great. I got enough crap installed on this machine.
Alternative is don't install it. And I'm kind of surprised you don't have Zoom on your machine already. You know, with all the stuff that you do with computers. Hey, let me ask you a quick question. Have you got a smartphone? You can put it on your... I do Zoom meetings from my smartphone pretty regular.
I have that. And, let's see, smartphones also do have cameras, if that matters. If you're just participating in the meeting, just watching the meeting, I don't suppose you need a camera. That's true. None of these computer systems has a camera.
Well, you know, the only problem with doing a Zoom meeting with your smartphone?
I've never done Zoom. This would have probably been my first time.
The problem with it is holding that doggone cell phone up there where somebody can see you. After about a 30-minute meeting, your arm gets tired.
Let me just prop it up against something. Yeah, maybe I'll put this on the smartphone, because I don't have a machine with a camera anywhere, at least not one that's working right now. So, yeah, we'll do smartphone.
Go, bud. Problem solved. See you in the meeting tonight. Richard, you make it back?
Yeah, I'm still looking for that. I have it. Oh, here we go. I couldn't remember where I put the results at. If you had 16... But I thought you lived out here in the Simpsonville area.
Oh, no, I'm up there near KO4NUE, Chad and Anna. And the long and the short of it, I made a modification to my tower so that I could add a piece of equipment up at the very top. So my Diamond X50A antenna had to come down the tower by about 15 or 20 feet, and that's what cut me out of being tied with Anna. Got it.
How tall is your tower?
I'm up at 50 feet.
A 70-foot stainless steel, or not stainless steel, God, I can't even, galvanized steel piping. It's a telescopic pole. It's a 70-foot push-up metal pole. So I think I have it set to about 40, 45 feet. And then the antenna, I have a Diamond VX2000A, which is a 2, 4, and 6 meter fiberglass antenna. So I got to order some new coax, but I want to raise it another 15 feet. I believe I can do that.
You will find that the increase in range is dramatic. And how many contacts did you have?
But if you look at the map that they send you, I'm at the very bottom of the map along the border that Ann sent out, which he sent out the actual map with the call signs. So I'm down in Simpsonville. I'm still closer to 85 and 385, but I'm at the bottom of the map.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of those contacts are clustered up near me, up near Chad, and up into the actual Tryon area. So, yeah, but shoot, man.
No, I only had four. So, but I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to replace my coax. My coax is more than 15 years old, number one. And I want to get it up that additional 15 feet. But I'm also going to put I haven't decided if I want to put a 3-element or a 5-element beam, a dual band beam up there, just point it toward that direction. That way I can actually, I don't want something that's too narrow, but I want something that's got a path that's large enough. And if I kind of point it so that I, you know, could hear the group up there, I should be able to hear more people.
Sir, well, I've got a 2-meter 440 beam. I'd sell you cheap.
What is it?
Elements in it. I'd have to go back and look, but I believe it's a 10-element.
It's kind of the one that I was looking at, which it's 5 elements for VHF and 5 elements for UHF, and the boom link is only, it's right about 6 feet. I don't think it's quite 6 feet long.
Exactly. That almost sounds like an exact description of what I've got. What one is your
as far as that, it's my call sign, that actually I take that back. I haven't updated it yet, but it's my first name, short Rich, last name Brandon, richbrandon@gmail.com, but it's good on QRZ.
Listen, have you ever heard Dave talk about the one that he has?
I believe so, KA3JCA, here the group. Sorry, Glenn, I didn't mean to leave you out there, buddy.
I've got one or two quick errands to do anyway, so I'll be out for a bit.
That Zoom meeting on your phone, Bubba. It's really not hard to do at all. So, anyhow, yeah, I tell you what, Richard. I'm thinking that I gave $125 for that one of mine, brand new, about a year ago. And I'd probably make you a pretty good deal on it.
Okay, hey, trust me, any deal is good there. Yeah, I don't want something too small, but I don't want something too big, just because I don't have a lot of guy wares on that pole. And like I said, it'll be a beam up there pointed toward that specific repeater, and I'm not worried about it being on a rotor right now. That'll be down the road when I'm actually trying to set aside and save to get like a 50 or 60 foot like road tower.
Yeah. Okay. Well, apparently I'm not going to need it, but I bought an extra Yaesu G450 rotator. Got to go over and take a look at those. Those are pretty reasonably priced, and they're really good.
Okay. Well, I will definitely get up with you, and maybe I could get with you and just talk to you on the phone there, and I'll explain what's going on here. And some of the drawbacks or things that I have right now here at the house. It'd give me something to do. I just being confined to the bed here and on oxygen. I don't get out like I would like to.
You folks, I know a little bit about your circumstance. But yeah, I tell you what, that thing, it works good. It works real good. And I'm on QRZ. I'm KN4BWA. Steve, you can get my email address there. So, like I said, I'm riding down the road right now. So, are you going to be calling that net on a monthly basis?
Believe it or not, I'm calling it the first Monday of the month, which coincides with the Blue Ridge net. So I'll check into the Blue Ridge club meeting, and then like about 7:30, I'll actually mute the screen or the video, or mute the screen there, the audio. And then what I'll do is I'll have it running in the background of the laptop while I call the net. And as soon as I'm done, I'll join the remainder of the ending of the club meeting.
It's asking kind of guy.
Mobile.
There went the neighborhood. Oh, hey, Rusty.
Some good things about you the other day. I'm going to have to retract that statement. And all. Where did you get the rotator, Steve?
I bought that rotator from HRO. I don't know what it is. When I first got into ham, DX Engineering had the best prices, best service, and they still got excellent, excellent service. Nobody can beat their service. But their prices, ever since COVID, have gone up. And I found that I've been getting a lot of good stuff, you know, same stuff out of HRO at a much better price. And sometimes if I'm down in the Atlanta area, I can actually go by the store and pick it up.
Yeah, what'd you give for that rotator? I'm looking for one.
$914.10. But I can get it for you at a good discount. They've gone up, and I think I gave $389 for mine. Gone up to just either $399 or just over $400. But I'm gonna tell you something. I've really been happy with mine. I thought I put up some additional antennas up at the top, and I said, okay, well, I'm gonna be stripping gears and breaking out bearings, but I'm gonna use it until I can figure out what I need to do. Well, that was last year, and man, this thing's still going strong and hasn't missed a lick.
One other question for you. The reason I jumped in is because I wanted to ask you, did the control box come with it, or did you have to buy the control box separate?
The whole package, everything, mounting screws, hardware, mast mount. I mean, it's the whole works. Control box, rotator, everything. Connectors. The only thing it does not have is the wire to go between the control box and the rotator.
That's what I was wondering, because I'd heard the same thing from somebody else that got there somewhere else, and I just thought, I didn't know whether that was just the place they got it from or what, but okay, that's what I wanted to know. Hello, Richard.
Alrighty, Steve, and Rusty, I'm going to get something real quick. I just started my Zoom meeting here, and I'm going to go get my radio and my 10-4-7 that from the thermal belt. So, but we'll join you guys at the meeting, sir. KA3JCA.
Nice double there, and Steve, Richard won out.
Guys, have you still got me in there? Am I still hitting the repeater? I'm over here by the clock on Wade Hampton Boulevard in Greenville, and I'm in the shadow, so I just wondered if I was still making it.
Yeah, you are, but Richard had a stronger signal because you doubled, and he came through and you didn't. So, anyway, what you doing wandering over that way? You're lost, son.
I am an imperative member of the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and I'm going down to the club meeting tonight. Why aren't you?
Well,
belong to Blue Ridge anymore, and I have enough things. I have barbershop on Monday nights anyway, and handbells usually, and barbershop both on the same night. Tonight I only had handbells. Next week I'll be back to handbells and barbershop, so I don't have time to go anywhere else.
And such is my dilemma. I've got this I'm going to tonight because I haven't made the meeting in person in a while. And I've got my Foothills Flyers RC Club meeting on the first Monday of the month. I've also got a couple of other things going on the first Monday of the month. And I tell you what, I'm going to see if I can start talking some people into spreading it out a little.
Bar is on the first Monday of the month, and Greer is on the second Monday of the month. I have handbells every Monday. I have barbershop every Monday. I can't split myself that many ways to be effective anywhere. So, you know, and I've been doing the barbershop for a long time, and since I'm an officer there, and it's nice when you show up sometimes for the meetings like you're supposed to.
Well, so how come you quit Blue Ridge? Okay, I think it might be me dropping out again. I'll repeat. How come you quit Blue Ridge?
One of these days I'll get on the phone with you and I'll tell you the whole story. There's a story behind it. We'll just leave it at that for on the air.
Well, in the meantime, I kind of gave up on Greer, and I don't anything against those guys. It's just that, their main primary thrust is once a year field day, and, you know, they've got a group of guys that handle the field day, and that's it. If you're not one of those guys, you know, you can come and block out a little space at 4 o'clock in the morning and try to operate a little bit. Beyond that, no. So, I got a little tired of sitting around listening to field day results for 2 or 3 months after they had it.
I'll talk to you later. I'm pulling in a yard. You're starting to fence post real bad. So, let me get inside. I've got my supper here, and I'm hungry. Talk to you later. KN4VWA, W2T73s.
Take it easy, buddy. Yeah, I know. I'm down in the midst of the buildings. So, anyhow. Hey, Richard, did you get in?
Until day once, and I'm like, this is supposed to be fun.
It'd be fun if you're a participant. Get some of your own gear, and if they swap out gear occasionally, but, you know, it's the same thing, same bunch every year over and over and over. So, you know. Anyhow, if you can't really contribute, yeah, it gets a little old. So, anyhow, did you get in, Glenn?
Tell you what, the club meeting is on now. Let me wait till I get back. I'll install the software.
Well, listen, I am downtown, and I should be pulling in there in about 3 or 4 minutes. So if you don't get me back, I'm headed in the building. So I'll go ahead and say 73s, and I hope you make it in there. And in the meantime, K4BWA, I'm downtown. Picket fencing is clear.
Threes, have fun. Talk to you later.
BJC. KN4BWA. What's up, Jerry?
I heard you were heading into the meeting. I didn't know whether you were still around or not, but don't let me hold you up.
Minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes. I got caught at a red light there at Augusta and Church Street, and that is the longest stinking light. I tell you what, man, hurry up and wait.
We had a little sunshine here today, and it started pouring down rain. Looks like it's gotten foggy again.
Do you see any of the weather reports on Fox Channel 21 tonight about the heavy storms that are supposed to come through?
I think he's been over here this afternoon. We haven't had the TV on that much. They just left about six o'clock or so. Wife's got TV on now, but she's watching something else, I think.
Okay. Well, Wednesday morning, really early Wednesday morning, we're supposed to have some heavy rain and heavy winds come through.
Get by around 8 or 9 o'clock or so, because my wife's got to head over to Greenville Wednesday morning. She probably won't leave about 9 or so today.
We're blown on through by then. I'm thinking it's supposed to come through, like I said, 4 or 5 or 6 a.m. Just kind of blow through and go on. So hopefully it'll just kind of come in quick and get gone fast.
Oh, mate.
We love. Tell you what, an adventure in the mine, I tell you.
Awful over there for the last few days. I'm sure I hadn't been out any, but just around here a time or two, that's been about it. We haven't done any traveling at all. Tried to stay inside.
Stay out over there. You over on the lake, or are you downtown near Anmed?
I can see the lake from my front door. I'm probably about 500 feet from the lake. I'm just off Brown Road down below where Sam's Club is. I'm on the, that side of the, that side of town. So I'm about 2 miles from 85, well, probably a mile and a half by the way the crow flies from 85. But, I'm not on the lake, but I can, up the subdivision, you know, the end of it is the lakefront.
That's nice down there. Well, how bad's the HOAs? Primo neighborhood then, bud. That's good. Well, listen, I'm pulling into Red Cross right now as we speak, and I'll let you go. You behave yourself, and I will talk to you again soon, I hope. N4VWA, I'm clear.
See you, Steve. Hope we talk to you again soon, too. N4DJC, clear.